But I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 66 this morning, Psalm 66. And I'm going to read that psalm, and then we're going to focus on one verse and then kind of just walk through this morning and just be hopefully encouraged and blessed. And this is kind of weird because I feel like I'm back in connection groups. But I'm standing, although I do stand quite a bit in connection group too. So, amen. Psalm 66. If you have your Bibles or your app, please open there. And we just praise the Lord for allowing us to assemble this morning and glorify His name. Amen. Just grateful that you're here this morning. And my prayer is that you would listen, be encouraged, and in the end, praise God. Amen. Psalm 66, a reading from the New Living Translation. The Bible says, "Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of His name. Tell the world," now I bolded this when I printed this out, but "tell the world how glorious He is. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs." Did you do that this morning? Most of you did. But I'm hoping all of us do. Verse 5. "Come and see what our God has done. What awesome miracles He performs for people. He made a dry path through the Red Sea, and His people went across on foot. There we rejoiced in Him. For by His great power He rules forever. He watches every movement of the nations. Let no rebel rise in defiance." Then if it's in your Bible, it says interlude. You can also take a little breath, and then we'll go into the next section. Verse 8. "Let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing His praises. Our lives are in His hands, and He keeps our feet from stumbling. You have tested us, O God. You have purified us like silver. You captured us in your net, and you laid the burden of slavery on our backs. Then you put a..." That was when they were in Egypt, right? Remember that? "Then you put a leader over us. He went through fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance called Canaan, the promised land. Now I come to your temple with burnt offerings to fulfill the vows I made to you. Yes, the sacred vows that I made when I was in deep trouble. That is why I am sacrificing burnt offerings to you, the best of my rams as a pleasing aroma and a sacrifice of bulls and male goats." And then we can take a breath again and go into the last section. Verse 16, it's the verse of emphasis this morning, and that we'll focus on. "Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He did for me." I want to read it again. "Come and listen." Look at verse 5. "Come and see what our God has done." Verse 16. "Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He did for me." We can actually listen. When we listen, we actually see if we are engaged. Not just hearing, but listening. We are seeing what God does when others tell or when we tell. We see it in our mind's eye, don't we? And we can relate so often. But He invites, "Come and listen, all who fear God, and I'll tell you what He did for me. For I cried out to Him for help, praising Him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God, who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw His unfailing love from me." Amen. What a great psalm. All the Word of God, but it's a great psalm, and it's just loaded with all kinds of things. And maybe another day we'll visit it again because of the points in there. But I wanted to just focus on verse 16 this morning. And it's an amazing breakdown just naturally in the way this poem is, this prayer is structured. But in verse 16 again, "Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He did for me." Now, this morning, we're focusing all about testifying and praising God and giving our testimony, right? And what it means to testify and to give a testimony. One of the things that I'm sure is you've been interested or fascinated sometimes by is watching advertisements on television or listening to radio ads, right? Or podcasts, or if you're watching YouTube, all the ads that come up and different things that come up. But one of the things that is the most effective in marketing and in advertising is using a live testimony, right? You're from Berea, right? You're not from Berea. I thought I met you yesterday. All right, that's a bad guess. All right, wrong guy. I might have met you, but you're not from Berea. All right, this is the other guy who's from Berea. Yeah, he's one of the groomsmen. Okay, anyway, you look like him. But you guys, but Berea too, like for example, I was going to say, they do that. They have live interviews to promote or to advertise their different camps and different things they do. They interview students and parents and families, right? Why? Because those are extremely effective, right? And you watch some of these ads on television, and I'm always blown away. I mean, no offense intended here. No, I'm not trying to just, but you watch these balance of nature advertisements. Anybody see those? Do you know what I walk away when I watch balance of nature? And again, no offense, because I'm going to be there one day too. All I think about is that they're targeting old people. Amen.
Yeah, thanks.
Right? I'm getting there. Balance of nature. And they show like, and even have one or some of the other advertisements, and you have, they're targeting, but the effectiveness is that they use somebody that's either testifying live, whether it's scripted or not. Most of the time, or oftentimes, it's not scripted word for word, but they record it. They want it to come out good, but at least say it in your own words, right? That's your testimony. That balance of nature gives me energy, and now I can dance like this, you know, for like 5 minutes with my 95-year-old husband, right? Have you seen the ad? I'm not mocking. I'm not. Good, because you don't watch TV. That's even better, right? That's great. There's nothing good on it. So, but it's effective, and they stay in business, and they keep advertising because the ad works. It works, right? And so it gets your emotions, it gets your mind, you relate to that, it's individual. And testimonies do that, they're powerful. And the beauty is that when you see an ad or you see a testimony, they're effective because authenticity is more effective than being polished and perfect. Yep. Now, you can still have a scripted testimony. That's all good. That's good. But when you do it and it's not perfect, you relate to that. Rather than this stuff and you go through and it seems so mechanical. And I don't know that those are the most effective. You should do your best. It's presentable, of course. But when they're authentic and they're not polished and they're not perfect, boy, it really connects with people. It's real. It feels real, right? And so that's used for selling products, but they're giving testimonies. But for us as God's people, and even for those who don't know the Lord yet, but especially for us who do know Jesus, and we've been born again, we've been saved by our faith in Jesus Christ because his blood set us free from the curse of sin and paid the penalty on the cross and took away the curse of the law and everything written against us, as Paul says in Colossians, and we're free. We sang about that today. We're free. And hell lost another one. Amen? Because of what Jesus did. And so we testify. We were testifying of that. But giving a testimony, and even as a Christian, and saying, come and listen, all you who fear God, I will tell you what he did for me. It's all about, a testimony is all about honoring the Lord by bearing witness about his work in your life. Now, it's nice when I can go and tell someone, oh man, listen, I got to tell you, Ryan, I got to tell you about Denise. You know what God did for her? And not that he's not going to believe me, but when I tell him what God did for me and I'm telling him right there, it's different. It's different. That doesn't mean that if I share someone else's story and convey that and proclaim God, that it's not effective or good. It is. But when it's me, my story, and I'm telling you, there's a different ring to it, right? It's my story, and I'm telling you, looking right at you. And it's hard to deny that it happened when I'm telling you it happened to me, right? In the Old Testament, it's filled with God's people testifying about who God is, his attributes, his characteristics, but also what he did, and also the expectation that he would continue to be the same God into that future with them as a covenant-keeping God who's faithful. They were testifying of that all the time. The New Testament is full of testimonies. We could go through all of them here and be here for a few weeks reading through all of them and commenting on all of those testimonies. But testimonies are all about proclaiming God's plan and how it came to fruition in saving us, and not just saving us from our sins and from the wrath of God, but from sustaining us, keeping us, and sanctifying us and making us more like his son Jesus, right? And we honor him and we share our testimony because we know he saved us and he keeps us. Amen? We do that. So here's the thing. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. I just want a couple of points here I just want to leave with you this morning. I want to first share with you what the purpose of a testimony is and your testimony is. What is the purpose? What is it all about? I mean, I kind of mentioned we're honoring God by what he did to us, and we testify of that. We tell about his work in our life. But what is the purpose? Now, when you're giving a testimony or you're testifying, let me encourage you that the first thing you have to keep in mind, and you must keep in mind, and it must be all about this, is that Jesus is the hero of your testimony.
Amen.
That's it. You have to start there, and actually it ends with that ultimately, but it's all about, that is where you start. Jesus is the hero. He is the central figure of your testimony, right? Now, I have to admit, I've done it, maybe we've done it, or you've done it, that sometimes when we're sharing our testimony, the attention isn't always squarely on our Savior. Right? We have to be careful because we can get carried away and we start to talk all about all the things that we've been through and all the hardships, all the bad things we've done. But a testimony that is God-honoring always focuses on God, on Jesus, right? Not yourself and what you did. If your testimony is 90 minutes of how awesome you were in your own eyes and what you did and all the crazy things you did and all that, and that's fine because it could... Paul talked a little bit about that. Some of the testimonies in Scripture reference how terrible they were. Right? But at the same time, it's not about you. It's about Jesus and what he did. Amen. And so he's the hero. He's the central figure of our testimony. The thing is, when we're sharing, and even what the psalmist does, not even in this psalm, if you read the whole thing, but many other psalms and throughout Scripture, where there are testimonies and praises and proclamations of who God is and what he's done, tell the facts. Tell the facts. Well, I felt like this, and I felt like that, and then God. Well, when you tell a fact, in other words, this was black, and now I'm white. Ooh, it's real, right? I did this, just very simply. I did this, now I don't do this. That's very clear and simple. And again, I'm not suggesting we don't get into details. That's all part of the story. It's our story. And we share that. And God worked through that. But it's got to be a focus on God. Now, you remember in John chapter 4, there was the woman at the well who met Jesus. She was a Samaritan woman. And they weren't supposed to be interacting. And we know the story. We've heard many sermons about this. But one of the things that happens, as you know, that as they had this interaction, Jesus confronts her. And he knows everything about her. And he basically tells her about her whole life story in front of her, having never met her before, and she never met him. And they're talking, and she walks away, and when she goes and she testifies, she tells about the living water that she found, right? The everlasting life. She goes, and she tells everybody, and you know what she said? She says, I met this guy who told me everything about me. No, you don't get it. I never met this guy. And he knows everything about me. And he even told me things some people might not even know about. And it's incredible. And it's like he sees in my heart and he knows everything there. And then he said, you could have this living water. And if you just knew who was offering you. And she goes, and I believe that was part of her story. It was all about Jesus. It wasn't that she even conveyed everything to him in all the details. He already knew it. And he brought it out and revealed that I'm the omniscient, present God who knows everything about you, and I still have a plan for you. And so she went, and she was very specific. He told me everything about me, about my life. And what about the guy in John chapter 9 and other portions as well in Scripture, but in John 9 specifically, the blind man, that he was healed. And his testimony was simply this: I don't know, but I was once blind, now I see. End of story. That's it. You, it's a fact. I was blind, and you can attest to that. You see that now. You knew me as that blind guy, and now I can see. And let me tell you who did that. I don't even know his name yet, but he did that, and he testifies about Jesus. And of course, he has interaction with him afterwards, and he knows who he is. We can run the risk. I have to be careful. We have to be careful as Christians, as followers of Christ. Those who have been changed and transformed by him, we can run the risk of glorifying. Often it's unintentional, it really is, our past life of sin. We can. Acknowledge Jesus in your testimony as the director of the plot of your life's story, no matter what your past looks like, good, bad, or ugly, or whatever. And focus on God's intervention as the climax of your story.
Amen.
Magnify Jesus, not your sin or your struggles. Just be careful with that. Note God's presence in your life. If we're going to make Jesus the hero of our testimony, of what we proclaim about him, of our witness, we're going to note God's presence in our life. Even though you didn't know it before the turning point or the climax in your testimony or story, you might not even have known how God was involved, but now you do. But make note of God's presence in your life. He knew it all along. He protected me. He kept me. And then he turned my life around and he set me on this solid ground, right? And it's incredible. Our testimony is all about divine help, God's help. Because we can't help ourselves to save ourselves. We can't help ourselves in other situations we find ourselves in. But it's all about relying and depending on God, who cares for us so much. And as the psalmist was indicating in Psalm 66, they were in big trouble. And it's a picture of salvation, ultimately. But going through the Red Sea, right? That's what it is. And even with Christ, they were up against it. And God, he keeps proclaiming, God brought us through. God brought us through. His presence was there. He was the fire by night, the cloud by day. God's presence was there. And he raised up a leader. God's presence was there through him. And that leader had interaction with God. And then that leader came down and talked to us. And we knew God's presence. I'm filling in the blanks, or the gaps, I should say. That's what he was talking about here in Psalm 66. It's all about divine help. It's not a promise of a life of ease when you testify of God's goodness and work in your life. Amen. You know why? Because that's not reality.
That's right.
It's not reality.
Amen.
So you don't testify of how great your life is, and life is so easy, and it's perfect, and it's great now. Some people with warped theologies and understandings of scriptures might tell you that. But it's not reality. It's not reality. Focus on and tell others that it was Christ's power that made a difference in and changed your life.
Amen.
Christ's power, right? It's Jesus' saving, healing, providing, and guiding power, not me.
Amen.
Not my strength, not my intelligence, or anyone else's for that matter, or some kind of a program's power, but Jesus' power.
Amen. Amen.
He may provide those people. He may provide some of those structured programs, but it's still God's power.
Amen.
It's all God's power. So make Jesus the hero of your testimony. Keep that in mind. It's got to be all about him. Second thing I want to share with you, when the psalmist says, come and listen, all who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. Why should we share our testimony? Why share it in the first place? I know you're running in your mind, you have answers, and that's great because a lot of us share our testimonies. But I think the first thing that we've got to note in Scripture, just going to our commission that we have from Jesus as God's people in Matthew chapter 28, is that it's commanded.
Yes.
It's commanded. Our testimony is pretty synonymous to the call that we've been given to go and preach the gospel to all creatures, right? And to make disciples of all creatures and to baptize them and then to teach them to follow and to obey all that Jesus commanded. That's what Jesus said. And then he promised he'd be with us, of course. Praise God for that. But it's expected by God. In Mark chapter 5, if you recall, there's this account of this demon-possessed man. And he was in a bad way. I think that's actually probably an understatement. But he was in a bad way. It was not good. And when he encounters Jesus, Jesus comes, and I'll make the story quick, he heals him. He drives out those demons. He's free of that possession and that just that bondage and that torment and just that life that was self-destructive and destructive to others. And when that happened, the man immediately wanted to cling to Jesus and go with Jesus wherever he went. You'll find that in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And then something happens in verse 19 and 20. When he wanted to go with Jesus, the Bible says, but Jesus said in verse 19, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things. I don't know why, but something's going on. Sorry. All right. Verse 20. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Everyone. Doesn't say some, one or two. Oh, you are already out of your mind because you're demon possessed. You're crazy. What are you talking about? You got a calm demon in you now. You're that's why you're like that. No, it was obvious, and they could see it. He was in his right mind, and he was telling them what Jesus did for him. What Jesus did for him. Very specifically here, the 10 towns of that region, and proclaimed the great things that Jesus had done for him. He went. It's incredible. It's expected by God. Jesus instructed him to do that. You can't just be with me living this comfortable life under my protection, my tutelage, and just being so covered, if you will. I'm with you. But go. You got to tell people. That's the whole point here. You got to testify about what I've done in your life, that I set you free, that I've saved you, and in other cases, where he healed people. And it's a powerful thing to share. But why share your testimony? Not just because it's expected by God, but also because we are to remember what God has done. I forget a lot of things. I do. I mean, you do too. We forget a lot of things. And so we are to remind each other. We are to remind ourselves. In fact, I believe that it's possible and that it's good practice to testify to ourselves of who God is and what he's done and our expectation of what he will do. Right, Brianna? Amen. She's paying attention. What happens when we don't testify? What happens? Well, I'll give you a little picture in the Bible in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. Joshua, remember Joshua in the Bible? Who remembers Joshua? Raise your hand if you know who Joshua was. You remember, okay? Was he a man of God? Yes. Did God use him mightily? What a leader. What incredible things recorded in Scripture about how God used him after Moses and to lead the nation. And he dies. Right before this, and earlier in chapter 2, a couple of verses before this, he dies. And there's a generation that grows up. And this generation, the Bible says this in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. The generation after Joshua, one generation, that's it. It says, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. Now, here's my question. This always blows my mind when I read this passage. Why didn't they remember? They weren't told. It wasn't testified to them. They got tired of hearing it over and over again. And I don't really need that. I'm fine. They got lured by other nations and practices and idolatry. Of course, that was all part of the problem too. But they were a generation forgot to testify. They forgot to testify. Can I give you an example? It's very relevant and practical to our world today that, frankly, on some levels, it can be frustrating. In our schools now, okay, in our schools, one of the first things that gets axed or cut down or forgotten in our curriculum is history. It's a fact. I'm not making that up. You can look at curriculum over the past two decades in our own school district, and you can see how they cut things, they trim it down, they omit things. I mean, no offense, but they spend barely a day on the Holocaust in high school. What the heck? Can I say that? Yes. And how often do you testify of what Jesus did for you, what he's done for you, and how great he is? And if we stop doing that, we'll become like that curriculum. It gets watered down. We omit things. We forget that. We want nothing to do with what's in the past. We don't think about it anymore. So why bring it up again? And you start to write your own history without remembering what history should have taught us. And then we get into a whole heap of trouble, which is exactly what happened to God's people in Judges when they neither knew, right? It says that they neither, they did not acknowledge God or remember the mighty things he had done for them. It takes one generation. We are about that away, a little more, from World War II, right? And a lot of what went on in World II is, don't even know about it. A lot of our kids don't even know about it. Let's not let that happen with who God is in our story. And let's testify so that we continue to proclaim, and that doesn't happen to a generation. Amen. All because, again, this happened all because they were not reminded by testimony through word and life of their parents or even grandparents, but parents. One generation away from losing that. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Why are we told not to forget? Because we don't remember. Right? We just don't remember it, or we don't want to remember. We just exclude it from our lives. And the idea that his benefits, we can go through a whole list of what his benefits are, and they're listed in Psalm 103, but just roughly and just in a very simple way, he saved us. He changed our hearts, and he transformed our minds, and he's conforming us to the image of his son, Jesus. What else do you need? Wake up, Donna. What else do you need?
Very awake.
Secondly, he provides all that we need to live a godly life. And when Peter says that in his epistle, he means God provides everything you need to live a godly life. Not just some things. Everything. Everything you need. So those are benefits already. The fact that we have him, he saved us, and he gives us everything we need because we have him, and we can live for him, and we proclaim that, and we don't forget all the benefits we have. And there are many, many others. Why share your testimony? Because in sharing your testimony, you overcome the enemy. You overcome the enemy. Think about, this isn't in my notes, but we were singing today. And think about the idea that we're singing and we're testifying, we're proclaiming. And when you're doing that, you're reminding yourself, and it's building up faith in you. And you're reminding yourself, and you're proclaiming all over again. The enemy has no hold on us. He's done. It's over. And we've been transferred from that kingdom of darkness, his kingdom, into God's kingdom. Right? I mean, that's a proclamation. It's a testimony. Our singing itself is a testimony. And it says and it proclaims not only to ourselves, but to those around us that we overcome the enemy because of what Jesus did. Remember, he's the hero of the story. He's the hero of that battle over sin, the battle for our soul, and he won it on our behalf, and we're his now. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible records this cosmic battle that's happening, right? Satan, the red dragon, is depicted as that, as a red dragon, and he's there, he's called the accuser of the brethren in verse 10, actually, of that chapter, I believe it is, in chapter 12. And it says that the believers, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life, even when faced with death. Amen. It was so sure. They were so confident. Nothing could sway them because they had a testimony and they kept repeating it. They kept proclaiming it to others and they hung on to that because we forget. And so we share that testimony. We overcome the enemy. And it's all first and foremost because of the blood of the Lamb. It's not what you did. It's because of what Jesus did. And I stand on that testimony and I testify that it was the blood of Jesus. And I won and I'm covered and he can't touch me. Ever. And he never will. And so they overcome, and the scripture says that because of the word of testimony, and they would hold on to that all the way to martyrdom till they die. Why else share your testimony? We testify because it encourages others and we pass on faith, right? And the true accounts of who God is and what he has done. We pass on faith. Psalm 78, verses 1 to 4, the Bible says this. O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. Did you catch that? Stories our ancestors handed down to us. That's a reference to going all the way back to the patriarchs. That's what it is. We will not hide these truths from our children. That's a strong statement. We will not hide these truths from our children. It's strong words. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Whew. Testifying invigorates and it excites us that the Lord is alive and at work among us. Doesn't it? Last night at the mission, we're just about done here, but last night at the mission, I was talking to a man, and he was in the cafeteria, and he started sharing about, he was testifying to me about how God has done, he's a believer, but he's God, these crazy miracles. I have no reason to not believe this guy. And so I started testifying to him. I told him two stories in my life. I actually told him a story because one was about me. I started with Denise, actually. She was there. So I actually pointed out Denise, how God healed her with her blockages. Do you remember that, Denise? And I was saying, you can go talk to her. And he was like blown away and whatever because he had similar experiences with his health and all this and his salvation as well. But and it was just a time. I walked away from him and I was like rock solid all over again. You know, just God, you're amazing, and there are others, and you're with us, and you perform wonders, and you've got more in store, and you are kept in your hand, and we can count on you, and I can't wait for what else you're going to do. So testimonies invigorate and excite us, right? That and remind us that the Lord is alive, and he's working. The Psalms are all about that. We love the Psalms, don't we? Let's do it ourselves and not just read about it in the Psalms. And it does testify to us, but let's do it ourselves. Finally, we share our testimonies because testimonies are a form of worship. Did you know that? They're a form of worship. A Christ-centered testimony praises him, loves him, and points others to do the same thing. That's what it does. In Acts chapter 21, Paul, in verse 17 to 20, he is going to Jerusalem. He has these missionary trips he's taking, but he's going into Jerusalem. And the Bible says in 17, when we arrived, The brothers and sisters in Jerusalem welcomed us warmly. It's good to know. I'm glad that he got received nicely. Praise God, right? And in verse 18, it says, the next day, Paul went with us to meet with James, and all the elders of the Jerusalem church were present. Now listen to verse 19. After greeting them, Paul gave a detailed account of the things God had accomplished among the Gentiles through his ministry. And do you know what happens in verse 20? Listen to this. I'm going to talk quietly so you listen to me. After hearing this, they praised God.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. When they heard the testimony of what God was doing, not Paul. Yes, God was using Paul, but he was testifying about God, what Christ, what the Spirit of God was doing among the Gentiles. They heard this and they praised God. It's worship. They're magnifying and loving and adoring and extolling and just lifting up Jesus and glorifying God because he's awesome. And it's like hearing those words all over again, right? In Psalm 66 that we read in verse 16, when they got together and they were praising, and it says, come and listen, all who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. So, we have a couple minutes. I've asked a couple individuals to share a brief testimony. Do we have that microphone, Jeremy, that cordless somewhere? Can you get that, Dave? That way they can stay where they are, and then we'll just go for it. And I've asked Dennis. He's going to share a quick testimony. And you can just do it right there, Dennis. No problem, brother. They got the camera. We're all good. You could just stay right there. We'll make it like at home, right? Like we're talking across the living room. Amen? Amen. Let's listen to Jeremy. Dennis.
I'm going to have to stand up. Even
sure,
back
with your back.
I'm glad he asked for a short testimony. He didn't give any parameters.
Go for it.
And today he laid out all the parameters, which is awesome. Anyway, so basically it's this. I have been blessed. I am blessed, right? My life has been full of struggles. I've tried my best to do my best. I tried my best to do my best. God has granted me the opportunity to set goals and many times reach them, only to discover the goals that I have set were not the goals he set for me. He has been gracious enough to let me see my goals and desires were focused on life this side of eternity. The Lord has shown me in his word that my goals and desires should have been eternal focused. Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3 says, set your mind on the things above, not the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen.
Mm-hmm.
For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And then I have one more. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal.
Amen.
For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So ultimately is this. We are to love God and to glorify him forever. And not just that, we should have great joy and anticipation in doing so.
Mm-hmm.
For what the Father in heaven has shown me is that he is the object of my affection, and that he is the one that causes me to see there's nothing I could do to reach that goal.
Mm.
It's a true gift of God in Him.
Amen.
The thought is incredible. It really is. His grace is amazing. I don't focus on the struggles, as I mentioned, when I see what God has brought me through.
Amen.
For the purpose that He's brought me through. And the last thing I'll just say here is that at the end of 1 Corinthians 7:15, it says, God has called me to peace. And that's what I have discovered.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Denise.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All the glory goes to God.
Amen. Put the mic up to your mouth.
Oh, okay. approximately 15 years ago, I experienced the worst day of my life. My oldest son had committed two heinous crimes that put him in prison for the rest of his life. I was broken, sad, and full of rage. Never experienced anything like that before. My strength was gone, and I thought my life was at an end. Although I thought that day was the end, it actually became my beginning.
Mm.
As I laid on the floor right there and cried out to the Lord, out to my mighty sovereign God, He gave me and filled me with His peace that surpassed all understanding. This was not the journey I expected, but now I realize it was the one that I needed to take. God heard my cries.
Amen.
He never, ever left me alone.
Amen.
Last night we sang a song at Providence Rescue Mission that we sang this morning also. He picked me up, He turned me around, He placed my feet back on the ground. And I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank my God. Today I am a strong woman. I am full of the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
I am transformed and full of life. Refocused on God's generosity instead of thinking of myself. There are many things we can't control in this world. But we serve a sovereign God who can work out all things for our benefit.
Mm.
God is the giver of a good life, and He gave me a good life. We were never intended to be fully self-sufficient in this life. He is the one that gives us what we need, not us. We don't give ourselves anything.
Amen.
A grateful heart reminds us that ultimately, God is our provider. All blessings and gifts are graciously given to us from His hand. In the face of adversity, God grew me, He loved me, and He blessed me with more than I could ever deserve. I am free. I have His grace and mercy that carries me daily, and I am so grateful to Him for that.
Amen.
I give Him all the glory.
Amen.
Every day.
Praise God.
Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering provides endurance.
Mm.
And endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for sharing. I want to open the floor, but I want to invite, if you really want to share, just for a couple of you, brief, just to testify spontaneously here, and just to testify and give glory to God. Can you get... I'm going to get the mic because it'll be easier for me to hear. Otherwise, people won't hear.
Maybe a couple of months ago, it was tough what I was dealing with. And I was driving to church just in a horrible mood and just having a hard time and thinking, this is too hard, God. And so I started to quote some scriptures, and it was kind of hitting my head, but not deeper. And finally I said, Lord, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I just cannot. This is over my head. Mm, and literally for 20 years, I can never remember using that expression. So I came into church, and Pastor Dan was preaching. Amen. And he said these exact words. What is over your head is under Amen. His feet.
Amen. Amen.
And it completely turned. I'm like, oh, you mean you got, I don't have to deal, but oh, this is so awesome.
Amen.
So it was.
Amen.
Yeah. So that was it.
Praise God. Amen. That's hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone? Kathy?
Hi. When Richard died, I died. And I thought I would never be able to move on and never be able to live again and never be able to be happy again. And God worked everything out so good for us. God took Richard at a time where I was making arrangements to put him in a nursing home because I couldn't do it anymore. And God knew how much we didn't want that. Amen. And he took him. And Amen. I know where he is. But every day, God saves me. Every day, God gets me through. And every day, I remember Pastor Bob's sermon, look up, hold your head up. And I do that Amen. Every day.
Praise
I
God.
Look up to God when the days when I feel like I can't do this anymore. God says, yes, you can.
Amen.
I have you.
Amen.
And he provides everything. When I think I'm not going to be able to afford things, he provides. When I needed jobs, he provided. Everything he provides for me. And he's given me this wonderful church Amen. Family.
Praise you, Lord.
Who raises me up and encourages me all the time.
Praise you, Lord.
So I thank you all, but I thank him and I give him the glory because Amen. He is not done with me yet.
Amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord.
He
Amen.
He still Amen. Has a purpose for
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
I did what he wanted, and I always told him, Lord, this is not the life I wanted. This is not what I want, but I will do your will, and I will do what you want me to
Amen.
Do.
Amen.
And he's like, I am not done with you yet.
Amen.
And he will keep Amen. Going, and all
Amen.
The glory to
Praise
him.
Praise God. Last chance. Amen. I'm going to ask the praise team to come. We're going to close with a song, but we last chance. If anybody else wants to testify, don't feel rushed. But if you want to testify, go. We can do it. That's why we're here. You had your hand up. Pete, Uncle Pete. Well, we call you Uncle Pete.
Thank you. You may remember this, but I actually heard the voice of God once, I believe, because it saved my life. I was in a car accident. And this was back when I was still in high school. And I wasn't driving. I was a passenger. It was a sports car. And I couldn't get my head out from under the car. But we flipped right over. And I was panicking, because I didn't like sitting there with my feet in the air. And I started panicking. I said, oh, God, because I knew if I stayed that way, I was going to be dead. And I knew I was facing death, and I didn't like that, and I was very uncomfortable. And I said, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And I heard a voice. And it said, don't panic. And I got control of myself because I realized I was hyperventilating or something. I was freaking out, and I calmed down. And then the next voice, same voice, think. It was like outside my head, right, whispering in my ear. Only not whispering, just talking. and level. And anyways, I remembered how the driver had said he could actually lift the car when it was his car. It was a small sports car. And anyways, I woke him up because he had passed out, and he was okay, but his hand was caught. So together, we pushed on the floorboards of the floor of the car, and I was able to get my head out from where I was trapped. And after 18 stitches, I'm still here today, but I'll never forget that.
Amen.
And I've had ups and downs all my life. And it's always him who's brought me back to
Amen.
Terra firma.
That's right.
Ground zero.
Amen.
And I thank him for that.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. All right. You'll have a chance in the future again. So get ready. Amen. Praise God. Why don't you stand to your feet? And we're going to walk out with another just song proclaiming how great God is. Amen. And let's close with prayer right now, and then we'll sing this song. And as we're singing it, when we finish up, you can be dismissed. If you want to hang out, that's fine. But Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you are an awesome God. We have heard just a couple of testimonies, but Lord, we have testimonies through all of history, Scripture itself, and the history of your people, God, of your faithfulness, your goodness, your power demonstrated over and over again, Lord God. And we thank you for your provision, Lord, for all the things that we need that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray that as we, Lord, conclude our service, God, as we sing this song, God, that we would be filled with faith, Lord God, and that our mouths would be filled with praises, Lord God, to tell of your goodness, your greatness, and your glory. We just thank you and give you all the glory, Lord. Help us, Lord, to, Lord, just echo what the psalmist said, that we would say, come and listen. And let me tell you of all the things the Lord has done for me. Let it be true in our lives. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.